November in the calendar at Shiloh Tabernacle. Every November we pause to thank God. It's nice to see you, my daughter. You have been disappeared for a while. Come on, let's welcome her back. Hallelujah. We pause to thank God. Somebody say gratitude. Gratitude is a virtue. I want to talk about the power of gratitude briefly as God enables me. I struggled with preaching this message because in a few days I was struggling with gratitude. Struggling with gratitude. Is anybody in this place struggling with gratitude to the Lord? Just let's be real. Let's remove those masks and put them aside. Just slip up your hand. God wants to touch you. God wants to touch you. God wants to touch you. I'm not alone. I thought I was alone. The Lord is going to touch you in this service. Struggling with gratitude. Asking yourself, why should I thank him? Hallelujah. And when I say hallelujah, I need an amen. Gratitude is highly valued. I'll give you a sample of quotes to reveal the power and potential of this virtue. Somebody said gratitude is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of others. If you don't have gratitude, you don't have any virtue in you. Hallelujah. Gratitude, another one said, gratitude opens the portal to a richer and more abundant life. If you want a richer and more abundant life, be a person, be a woman, a man of gratitude. Sarah Brithnach said, whatever you are in search of, peace of mind, prosperity, health, love, it is waiting for you if only you are willing to receive it with an open and grateful heart. Lock and key are metaphors that are used when we talk about gratitude. Gratitude opens, is a key that opens, listen to this, all doors. Not some doors, but all. Hallelujah. It unlocks the fullness of life. The key to abundance, prosperity, and fulfillment are locked in gratitude. Get it, and you have it. We need to be people who are overflowing with gratitude. Amen. Somebody said, a grateful mind is a great mind. A grateful mind is a great mind. In other words, an ungrateful mind is not great at all. Robert Stevenson said, the person who has stopped being thankful has fallen asleep in life. If you are unthankful or ungrateful, you are asleep. Asleep, somebody who is asleep is unconscious to the things around him. So if you are ungrateful, then you are unconscious of the things that are around you. What is gratitude? Gratitude is a feeling that ensues in exchange-based relationships. When one person acknowledges receiving something valuable from another. And in this context, we talk about God. You see, you cannot be thankful. You cannot be gratitude to the people around you if you're not grateful to God. You can never accept people around you. Well, however much they do to you, you can't receive. You know, there are people who struggle with receiving. I hope you're not the one of those. Gratitude comes from two stages of information processing. Number one, an affirmation of goodness or good things in one's life. And number two, the acknowledgement that the source of this goodness or the good things is not within. It is within somebody else. And God is the subject this morning. Listen, gratitude is an intervention. Psychologists use it as an intervention when people are going through thick and thin. And they have been researching gratitude for the past 20 years. Have come up with ways to measure it. There's a way to measure gratitude. They have got questionnaires that they use. And both, or some of these methods conceptualize gratitude as a trait as a trait. Something that distinguishes, you know, somebody, just like a quality, like a characteristic. It can be a trait or it can be a disposition. So some of us have got traits of gratitude, but others have got a disposition of gratitude. We are grateful 24/7. But some of us just have got a trait. Some form of gratitude. But God wants us to be people who are grateful, period. Not just having bits of gratitude. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when measuring this gratitude, the researchers examine gratitude as an emotional trait or an individual's innate tendency to grateful experiences. Individuals who reported a greater disposition of gratitude also reported experiencing daily gratitude. Daily gratitude. That is not easy. Daily gratitude. Whatever the day brings to you. Daily. Somebody say daily. Being grateful daily. These people experienced positive thinking. Positive thinking. Whatever came up at them, they flipped it around and they gave thanks for it. Hallelujah. So, while measuring this, the psychologist gave people an exercise. An exercise which was divided into, they divided into three groups. One of the people were given the task of writing about good things. Others were given a task of writing about hassles in a journal for a week. Keep a daily record of things. Concentrate on gratitude. Others concentrate on hassles. Of course, it was found out that people who were concentrating on gratitude were more positive than the ones who concentrated on the negatives. And guess what? The person sat in your chair most likely is one who writes or records the negatives every day. Every day, every day, every day. Scripture tells us, in all things, give thanks. That's what Paul said. Somebody say all. So gratitude is a word that expresses thankfulness and praise. An overall attitude of gratitude in both trials and blessings of life. An overall attitude of gratitude in both the trials and the blessings of life. And how many know that we are not only going to get blessings all the time? Jesus Christ made that promise quite succinctly. He said, in the world, you will have what? But be of good cheer. That means be grateful. Be of good cheer. When they come to you, be of good cheer. Because there's somebody who does not take it that way. That's why you've got people who are full, many people feeling the mental asylums because they did not know how to handle tribulation. And in the church, we're not preaching that tribulation comes. In the church, what we are preaching is only blessings, 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 blessings. And we have twisted people's lives. So when adversity comes, we do not have adversity quotient. You've got IQ, which is high. But when it comes to AQ, it's low. That's why we have got professors who cannot hold a marriage. We've got professors, we've got doctors who are drunkards, who have lost it because they could not handle adversity when it came. But a person who is full of gratitude knows that, you know, this is just but for a moment. There is nothing permanent. There is no situation permanent. Your situation is not permanent. Gratitude in the face of tribulation, gratitude in the face of adversity is a true mark of a true Christian. That's what Paul says. In all things and in all circumstances. Somebody say in all things. Now when we talk about all, I want to refer you back to Romans 8:28, where he says, you know, for we know that all things work together for the good of the, for what? they work together for our good. Hallelujah. Something hit me recently. It hit me real hard. Threw me off balance. Struggled to deal with it. Struggled to handle it. Struggled to decipher what it was. To decipher what it meant. But if it were not for the Lord, I would have lost it. And as somebody sat in this place, in this chair, in one of these chairs, you are struggling with something. You think it's the end. I have come to announce to you, it's not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. This is that your chapter does not end that like that. Your book does not end like that. Your story does not end like that. I hear pages being, you know, turned. I hear a page being turned in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, giving thanks always. Giving what? Thanks. Giving thanks means being grateful. How many times? Always. Ephesians 5:20. If you can throw it up there, Aaron. Giving thanks, what? How many times? Always. For what? For some things? No. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks in all things. Then he goes to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In the New King James, in the King James Version, it says, in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'm running quickly, son, don't worry. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Somebody say, everything. Everything, that is where we have an issue. That is where I have been having an issue. How can I thank God in everything? Even the good? Yes. Even the bad? Really? That's what Paul says, in everything give thanks to God. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Message puts it this way. Be cheerful no matter what. Wow. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. Why? This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Even in suffering, we thank God. Romans 5:3-5. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our what? In our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Listen. Hope will not put you to shame. If you hope in man, you will be put to shame. But if you hope in God, you will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's love has been poured, not, you know, sparingly. He has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. James 1 verse 1 to 4, he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, don't jump out of it quick and prematurely, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 and says, and to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ out of a spirit of gratitude. Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So you don't feel like thanking God? My friend, there is a lot to be thankful, there is a lot to be grateful for every single day. Even on the days that you call your worst, there is something to be grateful about. the vicissitudes of life will come. It's a reality. Constant life demands will come. Struggles, worries, which want to give room, to take the room of gratitude out of your heart. We are struggling, yes. We are drained, yes. Or maybe we feel let down. We feel like he's let us down. At times you feel like God has left you. You feel like, is God still here with me? Does God even really care about this? Does he even think about me? Those are questions that come our way when we are hit with issues. But here's what we can do in such circumstances as we close. The best way to be a person who's grateful is to be a mathematician. Sitting down and counting your blessings one by one. Hallelujah. Counting your blessings one by one. Hallelujah. You will realize that there are many things in your lives to be grateful about if you sit down and pause. I normally use this example whenever I'm talking about gratitude. Ever since we came in here, did you realize at sitting in that chair you have been breathing? You have been breathing. Right now, you have been breathing. And before I mentioned that, it was unconscious to you. You know, we have become too accustomed to breathing that we take it for granted. Because right now, there's somebody, there are nurses in this place, there is somebody who is on oxygen somewhere in a hospital. You see, it's not the oxygen. It's not this oxygen, you know, the oxygen according to scientists that keeps you alive. It's God's breath that keeps you alive. It's God's breath. They can pump oxygen and they will come to a point and say, no, you know, I think we have done all we can. We've got to turn off this. And yet they have been pumping oxygen. Do you know how many systems are in your body right now as you sat in that chair? Over 14 body systems working together, working in tandem, but we did not know about that. And we woke up in the morning and we were looking at this bill and God is saying, did you even pause to thank me for my breath in your lungs? There's somebody who cannot see what you see. They are blind. I'm not talking about people who came out of their mother's womb blind. I'm talking some people have seen and they went blind because of something. Most of the successful people that are blind people. Stevie Wonder, blind. Feliz Navidad. Christmas is coming. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. The man who sang that song is blind. And the song goes on. You know, every time it's played, he's getting money. Blind. But he can see. Helen Keller, the first black woman to graduate as a blind. She wrote many books. She became a professor blind. She was not born blind. She got blindness out of sickness as she was growing up. The same applies to this man who sang Feliz Navidad. So there are many things for which to thank God. As we go out today, I want you to think back. Think back. Reflect. We need to be people of reflection. The reason we are not thankful, we are not reflective. We are not reflective. Do you know what reflection means? You know what it means? You sit down in one place. When your kids are in bed, when your husband or wife is in bed, turn off the TV and sit down and press the rewind button in your life. You will be shocked at how many things the Lord has done for you and you have been ungrateful for. Yet you are focusing on this big thing here that is in front of you. Let's go back into the year. I know this year has been, you know, something else to most of us. But even then, there are some things that he has done. So go back and think Use it as an exercise this evening or tomorrow. Write five things down for which you want to praise God as we come on the 24th of November to give Him praise. Five things. Just somebody, just put up your hand like this. Just five of them. Just do that. The power of counting your blessings is immense. Number one, it helps you to shift your eyes off yourself. You shift your eyes off yourself. Week when I was feeling so sorry for myself. Too sorry I was holding myself. I was cuddling myself like this. Wherever I go, too sorry for myself. All I was thinking is me. I am finished. Is there anybody like me in this place? Counting your blessings helps you to shift your eyes off yourself and helps you concentrate on the attention and concentrate your attention on the bigness of God. Number two, gratitude reminds you that you are not in control. You are not in control. And all of us here want to be in control. You will never be in control, ever. I am going to repeat this. You will never be in control of circumstances. Who is in control? The one who was, the one who is, and who is to come is the one who is in control. Ephesians chapter 3:20, the one who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Gratitude helps us place our humility and dependence on God. Because we need Him. Gratitude helps you to recognize that you have so much to be thankful for. Even the little things, especially the little things which we forget to thank God for. But in reality, they are the biggest. The small things are the biggest. In your life, you need to know that. Because God builds blocks block by block. Hallelujah. Some may seem little to you, but they are very significant. And if they stopped, your life would be finished. If we are ungrateful over little things, we don't qualify for bigger things. If you are ungrateful for small things, you don't qualify for bigger things. Somebody once said, be thankful, therefore, for the least benefit, and thou shalt be worthy to receive greater. Let the least be unto thee even as the greatest, and let that which is of little account be unto thee even as the greatest. If the majesty of the giver be considered, nothing that is given shall seem small or of no worth, for that is not a small thing which has been given by the Most High God. Gratitude reminds us that God is the giver of all gifts, and He gives at His will. Hallelujah. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from God, coming from Him. A heart of gratitude, leaves no room for complaining. A heart of gratitude leaves no room for complaining, for it is impossible to be thankful and filled with negativity and ungratefulness at the same time. It can't happen. The problem, as I finish, is we tend to focus on the negatives. And once you focus on the negatives, you will get depressed. Focusing on the positives improves your well-being. It improves your mental health. It improves your health. It improves your positive outlook to life. You become more optimistic and you feel more connected to others. And it's very important because you need others. Look at that person sat next to you. Look at him quite well. I've given him permission. Look at them. You need them. You need to be connected to them. That's what the devil does. The devil knows how to isolate us, because when he brings problems, he wants us to be isolated. And that's the modus operandi of anaconda. The anaconda, the snake. You know that snake, that viper. When it wants to take something, it isolates it and circles it. and hits at one time, this thing is gone. But in the name above every name, we are getting out. So as you go, go and practice what I call, or what psychologists call, the gratitude visit. Visit what God has done in your life. The reason in the Bible we only have two people out of the generation that came out of Egypt, that entered the promised land, is because they did not have gratitude. They did not remember. They could not remember the God who separated the Red Sea. They couldn't remember the God who brought water out of the rock. They couldn't remember. Be a person who remembers. The moment you take a gratitude visit and begin to remember, you will be a man or woman of gratitude. Gratitude is a choice, my friend. Today we choose gratitude. Choose gratitude. Stand on your feet where you are. We have a choice. We have a choice.